How about Elliot Cutler?
Elliot's very bright, very well educated, has a tremendous resume, and I think I just don't know if he really connects with the common Mainer. You know, the person in the trench, like myself, a tradesperson, not having that background, and that's the vast majority of Maine people, the hardworking, blue collar,
right,
regular people.
Scraping for the mortgage.
Exactly right, yeah. And so I think Elliot is struggling, you know, to connect with the masses, so to speak. And that's, I think, that's going to be his biggest challenge.
Paula Page.
Mayor Page has a lot of support. A lot of people really believe in his story. He's got a very compelling life history. And I think, you know, the thing that separates the two of us is when you look at their business model, which is really a wholesale retailer, you know, which is a very important business in Maine, grown, been very successful. And then you look at the business model that I grew up with, which is developing highly skilled and trained craftsmen. And the customer service that we have to provide is much different than what's required, you know, at a discount store.
Right.
You know, so our coworkers and our staff is actually, we started an ESOP back in 2003, so a third of our company is owned by its coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at, you know, Mayor LePage's business background, it's, you know, a big corporation. They've got a total different business model, which I don't think is what we need to build the state on, you know, the state business model on. I think we are more in tune and have a better track record of growing our people, not only, you know, financial and their earning ability, but we've gotten a lot of our young coworkers to buy their own first home. We pay 100% of all of our individual coworkers' health insurance. You know, again, they own stock in the company. So we're about empowering people, growing people, developing their skills, training them. It's a much different business model than, you know, what Mayor LePage's manages.
And Kevin Scott.
Kevin is very high energy. He's working hard, and he's trying hard. I think he's passionate about his beliefs. And, you know, I think just, again, when you look at a governor of the people, as he, you know, claims to be, hasn't raised a family yet in Maine, hasn't really grown his own business per se, you know, with a payroll. It's more like, you know, placing people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're going into work every day. You've got 75 families that are absolutely dependent upon your leadership and your vision to become successful. So I think Kevin's got a bright future in Maine politics, and, you know, I wish all the candidates the best. You know, it's been a very interesting experience for me to get involved with politics, to see it kind of behind the scenes, if you will.
Right.
And it's an eye-opener.
Now, this is your first time in politics? You've not been a selectman or any of that?
No, like most small business folks, you work in 10 to 12 hours a day, raising a family. You don't have time. And the second thing is, Michelle, when you operate in a local community, you get involved in local politics, as you know, and you come down on a controversial issue, you can alienate your customer base.
You are speaking to the one person in your life that you'll never have to go into that with. I totally understand.
You experienced it? Yeah, it's real. It's a real deterrent for more business, you know, experience in Augusta, which we desperately need.
Are you running on taxpayer money, or are you running traditional?
No, I'm self-funded, and I'll mention something about that. I started right from scratch. You never a penny, and right from the bootstraps. And we've done well. You know, a very humble person. We live in the same house that we've had for over 20 years. I drive a 10-year-old pickup, 160,000 miles on it. So people look at that and say, wow, put $500,000, and there's a hard-earned dollars into the campaign. This is the way I look at it, Michelle. I didn't go on to college. So to me, this is almost like an endowment to the state of Maine, to the business, small businesses in the state of Maine. That's the way I look at it. I'm investing in our future in the state to get up there and educate people on how important businesses are to the state of Maine, how much they do for the people in the communities, and how much of a fabric of the state that they are. And we need to get small business, you know, empowered and back on track, because it is the backbone of the state. So I think I'm, I feel like I'm taking one for the team, if you will.
Okay, now, if somebody listening wanted to donate money to your campaign, how would they go about doing that?
They can get on our website, moodygov.com.
Moodygov?
Moodygov.com, and there's a process they can go through, or they can, you know, just mail a check or whatever to our campaign headquarters.
And that address?
That's 176 Narragansett Street in Gorham. But it's tough out there. I know people are grinding and scratching and scraping, so don't, you know, I mean, we went into this pretty much to say we're gonna fund it. If people want to help out, great, but we don't expect it.
Oh, that's different. One more thing. I was intrigued by the idea of a governor basing his pay on the number of jobs that the job increase. Can you explain to me how you come to that and why?
Well, it was at the forum last night, and someone said, you know, how serious are you going to be about creating jobs in Maine? And I thought, you know, this is how serious I'll be. I won't take a dime of the taxpayers' money if it isn't coupled with a job creation. So, you know, if we create 2,000 jobs, then I'll take a $2,000 salary or pay. You know, it's not about the money, Michelle. Money's never been my primary motive in life. It's always been about taking care of people, developing people, growing, helping them succeed. And that's really what powers me. We've been successful in spite of, you know, not, you know, but I think money can sometimes become somebody's idol, God, you know, and that's just wrong. You know, people are what matter, taking care of people. And if you do that, you give them what they need to succeed, the money kind of takes care of itself. You know, you don't, obviously, I'm very fiscally frugal, you know, I never waste money, you know, that way, but I'm very, you know, people ask me, are you a conservative or a liberal? And I say, you know, I'm the guy that shuts the light off when he leaves the room, but I'd spend $200,000 on a piece of equipment if I thought it would pay itself back and make it easier and more productive for our coworkers.
Okay, have you always been unenrolled, or were you a member of a party at some point and left? And if you left, why? What was going on?
Yeah. Nope, I was unenrolled, you know, since 18. And again, you know, back then, I think I've always had that ability, you know, that vision or that instinct. I don't know, some of that maybe is just inborn, but it didn't make sense to choose sides. I was like, you know, why would I want to be on one side of the issue before you even get going? And boy, do you see that today. It is just pitiful the way that politics have denigrated to. It's just disheartening for the American people. And I think it's what's caused the unrest that you feel out there across the country, is they are just looking at the two-party model as being dysfunctional now. Everybody's just buying, you know, to get their turf, their votes, if you will, and the people are lost in the shuffle. It's terrible.
Is there anything else that you think needs to be said that I haven't asked you?
Well, I think it's a very interesting election cycle, and I would just encourage everybody to do their homework on the candidates. Find out exactly who you're going to vote for. Don't just get caught up in the emotion, because think about it. If you're frustrated and angry, I'm not saying I blame you, but what did you ever do in your life that was centered around frustration and anger as far as you making a decision that ever turned out good? So do your homework, look at the candidates, look at their resumes, look at what makes them tick, because that's what you're going to get in the Blaine House. It's, you know, you're going to get what you ask for. You got to make sure that person has a moral character, the vision, and the decency to really lead the people in the right direction for the right reason. No politics. It's got to be about the people.
Thank you so much. This is Michelle Anderson. I hope you stick around until we have the next interview with someone who's interested in the things that interest us north of Bangor.